Hi, everybody. My name is Ileana. My dad used to work at a company that made printers. He lost his job when the company went bankrupt. He had been working there since graduating from college. He spent 17 years there. It was the only job he ever had. He applied for similar jobs, but nobody would hire him. He ended up getting depressed. He sat around in the living room all day watching TV. His relationship with my mom deteriorated. They started fighting all the time. The atmosphere at home was really bad. When my dad lost his job, he got severance pay. When that money ran out, my parents started to have trouble making ends meet. My mom has two brothers. I'd only met her younger brother maybe half a dozen times. I didn't even know what he did for a living, just that he was really well off. When my mom became desperate, she called him and asked him to help find my dad a job. He said, "Have him come to my office tomorrow. I have just the job for him." When she said this over dinner, my dad said, "I will have to go, but I don't trust him. He never helps anyone unless there's something in it for himself." They never told us what job my uncle offered my dad. But my dad started leaving home early in the morning and coming back late at night. I asked my mom, "Has dad started working?" She said, "He will soon, but he's going to work from home. Right now, he's making preparations for that. Don't tell anyone about it." I didn't understand why my mom said that. What kind of secret work was my dad going to be doing? That weekend, something funny happened. My mom said to my brother and me, "Do not come out of your room tonight, no matter what happens." I asked, "What if we have to use the bathroom? We can't come out even then?" She gave me a serious look and said, "Ileana, this is really important. You are not to leave your room." I didn't want to go to sleep that night so I could figure out what was happening. I pressed my ear to the floor. I heard a lot of footsteps. I could hear people talking, but I couldn't make out anything they were saying. I stayed up until 3:30 in the morning. The sounds from downstairs had petered out. I couldn't stay awake anymore, so I fell asleep. Why were there so many people around that night? Who were they? Did they bring something? I had so many questions, but I couldn't ask my parents because I didn't want them to find out I stayed up and eavesdropped. Even though my dad was working from home, we were barely seeing him. My mom said that he was working nights and sleeping during the day, but something was off. We didn't know what his job was. I tried asking my mom. She wouldn't give me a straight answer. She just said, "It's something similar to his old job." I couldn't ask my dad because even though he was working again, he still looked depressed. He used to joke around all the time. He loved making us laugh. Now he had become a completely different man, and I missed my old dad very much. The only positive thing was that we were doing better financially. Around that time, the school year ended and summer vacation began. One morning, my brother said to me, "Can you get my bike out of the basement?" I said, "Why don't you do it yourself? Why are you asking me?" He blushed. He was embarrassed. "The basement is so dark. I know there's nothing to be scared of, but I'm still scared. Please don't mock me." I knew he couldn't help it because I am still terrified of clowns. "Okay, let's go and save your bike from the monsters in the basement," I said. He said, "Hey, I told you not to mock me." I said, okay, I was just kidding, and started walking. He followed me. To get into the basement, we first had to go outside. The entrance was at the back of the house. I couldn't remember the last time I went down there. I didn't think there was anything important there other than my brother's bike anyway. That's why I was sure my parents hadn't gone down there in a long time. I was so surprised when we got to the door because there was a keypad lock on the wall next to it. I pushed the door, it didn't budge. Normally this door is never locked, but now it was. And here was this keypad lock. We needed a passcode to enter our basement now? This was the craziest thing I'd ever seen in my life. When I touched one of the buttons, the screen said, "Enter the 4-digit passcode." I asked my brother, "What do you think the passcode is?" "I have no idea," he answered. I decided to try some numbers. First, I entered my brother's birth year. Didn't work. Then I tried mine. That didn't work either. How about mom's? When I typed in her birth year, I set off a really loud alarm. Of course we panicked. Apparently the alarm was set to go off after 3 unsuccessful attempts. A few moments later, the basement door opened. There were 2 men whom I'd never seen before. Did they work with my dad? Since my dad was asleep at the moment, what were these guys doing there by themselves? They were relieved to see us. The one with the beard asked, "Are you Mr. Bradford's kids?" We nodded. My brother said, I got my bike down in the basement. We just wanted to pick it up." He said, "Stay right there. I'll grab it for you." That's how we found out there was something strange going on in our basement. I told my brother, "Wait here for your bike. I'm going to talk to Mom." My mom was out. When she came back, I told her what happened. "I should have told you. The basement is your father's office now. Those people you saw are two of his colleagues," she said. "But what are they doing in the basement?" I asked. Mom said, "I told you, they are working. Don't go back there." Just as she said that, I noticed the ring on her finger. I said, "Mom, is that new? Is that a diamond?" My mom involuntarily pulled her hand away and hid it behind her back. She said, "No, it's not a real diamond. It's fake." Then she quickly got up and walked away. I didn't think that was a fake diamond. If it were fake, she wouldn't be so nervous. She would show it to me like it was no big deal. So now we had the money to buy such expensive jewelry? Now I was even more curious about my father's new job. But I had no way of finding out what was going on. Meanwhile, our family was getting richer. My parents got themselves expensive SUVs. All the furniture in the house was replaced. A new phone, a tablet, a computer. My mom got us whatever we wanted. We were seriously rich now, but for some reason, we were still living in the same old house. It was really not very nice. Why did we not move out? Did it have something to do with what my dad was doing in the basement, the job I still knew nothing about? Early one morning, the truth came out. I finally found out what was being done in the basement. It was a huge shock for all of us. That day, our life turned upside down. I said earlier that my dad worked for a company manufacturing printers for 17 years. He was an expert in printing technologies. Do you know what my uncle offered my dad since he was aware of his expertise? Printing counterfeit money. Yes, unfortunately, my dad was printing fake banknotes in our basement. The men my brother and I had met were in charge of distributing the fake money around the country. In order not to attract attention, they were printing $20 bills, which no one checks. My uncle was already making a living from illegal activities. He wanted to make even more money by going into the counterfeiting business using my dad's expertise. And that's exactly what happened. Both my dad and him made a lot of money from it. The police raided our basement and caught my dad and the guys he worked with red-handed. My brother came to my room. Of course, we couldn't go out. We found out what happened afterwards. It's really interesting how this all came about. After picking up his bike, my brother found two $20 bills stuck to each other outside the basement. The men probably dropped them as they were carrying out the counterfeit money. My brother didn't realize the money was fake and used it to buy ice cream. The ice cream seller became suspicious looking at the bills. He noticed that the ink on one of them was still wet. That's how we figured out they were fake and asked my brother where he got them. Then he called the cops. The police surveilled our house for a while. After the raid that night, my dad, my uncle, and 15 more people were arrested. They're all in jail right now. There's both a fine and jail time for this kind of crime. They seized everything from our house, too. We're staying with my grandparents. Our life was completely upended. No matter how desperate my dad was, he never should have gone into something like this. I'm so mad at my mom, too, because she let it happen. Now our family is broken. I know that they did this for us as much as they did it for themselves, but I still don't think I can forgive them.
Hi, everyone. My name is Isabel. A few years ago, my dad had a heart attack at work and passed away. His sudden death changed our lives forever. My mom had no job and no marketable skills either. We had some money saved up from when my dad had been working. At first, we were getting by on that, but soon that money ran out and things got bad. We weren't able to pay our bills. One day, my mom said to me, "Isabel, I want to talk to you about something important. Our landlord Ted wants to marry me. He divorced his wife 4 years ago. He has two daughters, but they live with their mom. I don't know him that well. But he seems like a good person. I'm going to say yes. I'm doing this for both of us. Please try to understand me." My mom is a really beautiful woman. I had only seen this man once before. He's 10 or 15 years older than my mom. He knew we were having money problems since we weren't able to pay the rent. He was trying to take advantage of my mom. No matter how much I pleaded with her, my mom wouldn't listen to me and married him. As I got to know him better, it became clear that my mom had made a big mistake. Ted was an arrogant man who talked about his money all the time. He was living on the rent money he got from his properties. He had no other job. He was home all day. He was clearly using my mom as his maid. For example, every Sunday, he would hand my mom a list. It spelled out one by one all the dishes my mom had to cook for lunch and dinner that week. He would grade each dish after every meal. And he wasn't very generous with the grades either. The worst part was that the whole time he would talk about how good his ex-wife's cooking was. My mom really wanted me to get along with Ted. I decided I would try to do my best. I saved up my allowance to buy him a nice pen for his birthday. My mom was insisting that I call him Dad. I wrote a little note saying, "To my dad, with love," and put it inside the gift box. Ted frowned when he saw the note. "I think it's too early for you to call me Dad. First, you need to prove to me that you are my daughter," he said. I was so upset. I glanced at my mom. She felt terrible too. It was around that time that something happened that made things even worse. I woke up one morning and saw that there was another girl around my age at home. It was Ted's younger daughter, Pia. She'd had a huge fight with her mom, so she had decided to move in with us. I'd just gotten a stepfather, and now I had a stepsister too. At first, I thought maybe we could be friends, but unfortunately, Pia turned out to be just like her dad. One evening, she yelled to my mom, "Your food is too greasy. I gained weight because of you." But she was already chubby when she arrived. I think that she's been like that since she was a kid. She made that up just to blame my mom. The thing that annoyed me the most about Pia was that she was extremely jealous. She was so jealous of me, and she didn't even feel the need to hide it. I'll give you one example. I had an orange dress. One day, my mom had commented, "This dress looks good on you." And I said, "Yes, I love it too." When I wanted to put on that dress again a few weeks later, I saw that there was a huge hole right on the front. Furious, I went to Pia and screamed, "Did you do this?" She smirked and said, "Of course I did. Who else?" After Pia began living with us, Ted started treating me even worse. Pia didn't go to college because her grades were bad. I, on the other hand, was a good student. I wanted to study psychology in college. I was talking to my mom about it. She went and told Ted. He came to me and said, "Don't even dream of going to college. You're not smart enough for that." That night, I cried until morning. I had to get out of that house, but I couldn't see any way of doing that. One day, the miracle that I needed happened. My phone rang. The person on the line said, "I'm your grandmother. I would like to meet you and your mom if you let me." We met up the next day. When my dad was only 4 years old, my grandmother abandoned him. He never forgave her for that. In the years that followed, she tried to get in touch with him many times, but my dad refused to communicate with her. She told us all about this in tears. "He was right because I'd left him. I have immense regret. However, unfortunately, it's not possible to turn back time." My grandmother had just recently found out that my dad had died. She thought we might be able to use some help with money, so she tracked us down and finally reached me. She told us, "My second husband was very wealthy. I lost him last year. I have no one to share this fortune with. Do you want to move in with me?" she asked. My mom was pregnant at that time. She said, "I have a new family now. But I know Isabel is not happy. She can live with you if she likes." My grandmother seemed like a really nice person. Even if she wasn't, I'd still move in with her, since my stepfather and stepsister were making my life unbearable. I agreed right away. That night, I said goodbye to my mom and left home. My grandmother was really wealthy. She lived in a magnificent mansion. The best part was that she was even kinder than I thought. She kept telling me, "I feel like I've been born again. Isabel, I'm so grateful to you for making me feel this way. I'll send you to the best schools. Eventually, all this will belong to you anyway." I didn't care about being rich. I was at peace now. And that was more valuable to me than all the money in the world. That summer, something unexpected happened. My grandmother suddenly died after an accident. She went out on a tour of the Greek islands with her close friends. While swimming in the sea, a poisonous fish stung her. They didn't make it to the hospital in time. She died on the way. I was incredibly sad. She had once told me, "When I die, I'd like you to build a school so that my name can live on." I immediately got to work to make her wish come true. My mom and I talked on the phone a lot. She had her baby. I had a brother now. I think she wasn't happy at all, and her husband continued to treat her badly, but she still never mentioned anything to me. I told her, come live here with me. You don't have to put up with that man. But she wouldn't listen to me. My mom is a good-natured person and a loyal wife. Ted was taking advantage of her qualities. One day, my mom called me. She sounded very sad. Your stepdad wants to visit you, she said. No way! I don't want anything to do with him, I yelled. My mom said, Isabel, this is really important. Will you please see him for me? I couldn't say no. I wondered what he wanted from me. Ted came over the next day. He wasn't that smug, arrogant man anymore. When he said, Isabel, we don't get along too well, but I still like you very much, I couldn't help but smirk. That was an outright lie. Still, I didn't say anything. Perhaps your mother has told you. My daughter Pia has a very rare, very severe type of muscle disorder, he went on. I was shocked. I said, no, I had no idea. Apparently, my mom had kept this from me so as not to upset me with her own troubles. My stepdad looked into my eyes and said, my daughter is dying, Isabel. I came here to ask for your help. I knew Ted had a lot of money, so I was confused. What exactly do you want from me? I asked. There's a drug for Pia's condition. A single dose will be enough to cure her, but this is the most expensive drug in the world. It's only produced for 20 people every year. I sold all my properties, but I still only have enough money to cover half of its cost. Please help me with the rest. My daughter can't move at all right now. When it gets to her heart muscle, she'll be dead. I beg you, help us. After he said all that, my stepdad started sobbing. Neither Ted nor Pia is a good person. You know this already. Ted ruined both my and my mom's life. My grandmother saved me from that house. What would have happened to me if I'd stayed there? Would you help them if you were in my place? You probably would. Without even thinking, I told him, I'll give you the money you need, but I couldn't stop myself. I don't think you deserve it, but I'll still help you, I continued. Ted started crying again. You're right, I don't deserve it. I know it as well as you, he said. I was so sad to see Pia. She was all skin and bone. She couldn't even move her eyeballs, but she was conscious. I whispered into her ear, you will be fine, but please be a better person in your new life. Even though I didn't want to say things like that, I couldn't help myself. The drug was really expensive, but just as my stepdad had said, a single dose was enough to cure her disorder. Her condition is improving every day. Even though she still can't talk, I can see her thanking me with her eyes. Meanwhile, my stepdad, Ted, changed a lot. Since he was so deeply shaken by this, he's no longer hostile. My mom, of course, is really happy about his new behavior. I'm busy with the construction of the school that I'm building in my grandmother's name. My stepfather comes to help with the construction, not expecting anything in return. I don't think I'll ever have a close relationship with him, but at least now I can rest easy, knowing that he will no longer treat my mom badly.
Hi, everyone. My name's Beatrice. If you asked me what's your strongest childhood memory, I'd answer right away. My parents' never-ending fights. They were yelling at each other all the time. Even when I was little, I could see that they hated each other's guts. Eventually, they decided to get a divorce. Even though I was only 7 at the time, I was so happy when I found out. I remember something funny. I was so used to their fighting that when Mom said, Beatrice, your dad won't be living here with us, I asked her, so will you be fighting over the phone? Even after the divorce, they still had to deal with each other because of me. My dad really loved me. He'd pick me up every Saturday morning and bring me back Sunday night. My mom had to stop working after she had me. After the divorce, she looked for a job but couldn't find one. So we had to rely on the money we got from my dad. My dad really loved me. He composed music for commercials. I really loved music, and sometimes he would take me to his friends' concerts. At one of those concerts, I saw a ukulele for the first time. Because it was so small, I thought it was a special guitar for kids. I asked him, Dad, will you get me a kiddie guitar? My dad laughed so hard. He got me the ukulele after the concert. My dad could play many instruments. He started to teach me how to play the ukulele. Around that time, my mom got a new boyfriend. The guy was staying with us often, and for some reason, my mom wanted me to call him Dad. That weekend, I told my father about it. He got really upset. He called up my mom. He said, "Why are you forcing Beatrice to call someone she doesn't even know Dad? If that man comes to your house again, I'm not bringing her back." They had a huge fight over the phone. When my dad dropped me off at home on Sunday, she said, "Don't you dare threaten me again, or this will be the last time you see Beatrice." After that, they had an even bigger fight. Dad came to my room before leaving. He had a phone he only used for work. He gave it to me. He said, "Honey, if that man stays here again, please call me." Then he gave me a kiss and left. Normally, my dad would call me every evening. The next evening, he didn't call, so I called him. His phone kept ringing, but he didn't pick up. I called him again the next day. This time, his phone was off. I told my mom about it because I was worried, but she didn't care. She got mad when she found out that my dad gave me a phone and took it away. That Saturday, I woke up early as always and waited for my dad to arrive. He hadn't called me all week, but I was sure he would come. But he didn't. We waited until noon. Finally, my mom got worried too. "His phone is off. I'll go over to his house," she said, and left. When she came back, she said, "I rang the bell, but no one opened the door." Unfortunately, after that day, we didn't hear from my father again. If something horrible had happened to him, we would have found out. It seemed like my dad had disappeared on purpose. Since we stopped getting money from him, my mom started looking for work again. Thankfully, she was able to find a job at a supermarket. However, the money she was making wasn't even enough for the rent. We had to move to a smaller house. After that, things just kept getting worse. We were moving all the time. There were times when we got evicted because we couldn't pay rent. My mom wasn't in a good place mentally. When she'd lose her job, we would move in with my aunt's family for a while. Yes, our life was really hard, but I didn't really care about that. All I worried about was my dad. I missed him a lot. Some nights I'd fall asleep holding my kitty guitar, which reminded me of him. When I was a sophomore in high school, my mom started talking to a man she met online. But she couldn't meet him because he lived in another city. One day she told me, "Brett wants us to move in with him. What do you say?" This meant that we would be moving to another city and I would have to change schools, but I still said yes. Because after all these years, there was finally someone in my mom's life, and Brett seemed like a really nice guy. Moving in with Brett turned out to be the best decision we ever made. For the first time in my life, I finally felt at peace. Brett was a lawyer, and he wanted me to study law because he thought I could become successful at it. This seemed like a good idea to me. I decided I should start preparing for college. I thought I should do some volunteering so I could put it on my application. Through my school, I found that I could volunteer at a soup kitchen. They sent me to a soup kitchen that needed help. I began going there twice a week. You know, usually it's the homeless who eat at soup kitchens. In the city where I used to live, there were many homeless people. I would cross to the other side of the street every time I saw a homeless person because they smelled really bad. However, working at the soup kitchen made me see things differently. Sure, they still smelled bad, but they were human beings just like the rest of us, and for most of them, living on the street wasn't a choice. After a while, I got to know a lot of homeless people. Some of them were real characters. They made me laugh a lot. I was looking forward to going to work each day. One evening on my way to the shelter, I saw a man lying down on a bench. He wasn't like the other homeless people I knew. He looked really, really bad. I nudged him. He looked up at me. "I can take you somewhere where you can eat," I said. Before he could answer, he put his head down again. He closed his eyes. I repeated what I just said, but he didn't respond. I gave him whatever change I had and kept walking. The following day, I saw the same man again. This time he was sitting. He had a blank look in his eyes. I sat next to him. He didn't look at me. I asked, "Are you hungry?"
"No."
He didn't respond. I stood up. I grabbed his arm and tried to pull him up. "Please come with me. We'll go somewhere where you can eat," I said. He stood up without saying anything. We started walking together. I was used to the way homeless people smelled, but this guy was really bad. Also, his face was so dirty you couldn't see what he looked like. It was like he was wearing a mask made out of mud with just two holes for the eyes. When we got to the soup kitchen, I took him to the bathroom. "You need to wash your hands. You can't eat like this," I told him. He still didn't react. I went in with him. I turned on the water. I washed his hands with soap. Then I lathered his face for a really long time. Then I rinsed it with water. When he looked up, I couldn't believe my eyes. It was my father. Dad! I screamed and hugged him. He didn't respond. Dad, it's me, Beatrice, your daughter, Beatrice! I was screaming. I finally found my dad, but he didn't seem to recognize me. He was just staring at his face in the mirror. That was probably because he was seeing his own face for the first time in years. We had a volunteer at the shelter named Matthew. I thought he could help me because he was homeless too. When I told my story to Matthew, he was really surprised. I've seen your dad around for years. He never talks to anyone. He's always been this way. He probably has a mental illness, he said. I couldn't take him home in this condition. Matthew lived in an abandoned building with a few other people. I asked, can my dad stay with you for a while? I'm going to look for a way to take him to a doctor. He nodded. He promised me he'd look after my dad. That night when I came home, I told my mom and Brett that I found my father. My mom couldn't believe what she was hearing. She said, are you sure? Maybe it's just someone who looks like him. I said, I thought about that too. That's why I'm going to do a little test tomorrow. Brett said, I can help you find a doctor. And I was so moved that I hugged him. I told you, he was a really nice person. The next day, I went to where Matthew lived. My dad was sitting outside staring blankly into space. I took out my ukulele. Yes, that was the test. If it was really my father, I thought he'd definitely react to the ukulele. But he didn't even look at me. I started playing, trying to remember some of the chords he had taught me. After a little while, he reached over. He touched the ukulele and said, Kitty guitar. I looked at his face. He looked at me. Kitty guitar, he repeated. I embraced him and began to cry. My dad kept saying, kitty guitar, as if he was desperately holding on to something he had trouble remembering. I thought my dad was mentally ill, but when we went to the hospital, it turned out that I was wrong. The doctor gave my dad a thorough examination. He did a lot of tests. Finally, he gave us a diagnosis. According to the doctor, my dad had suffered a severe concussion. That means he hit his head really hard. He was probably involved in a car accident. As a result, he had what's known as a traumatic brain injury. If the impact on the head is too severe, there might be permanent damage that affects cognitive abilities. That was why my dad was like this. The concussion caused some kind of mental defect. The worst part is that it can't be treated. We don't know how my dad ended up in a different city. My theory is that after leaving our house, he was hit by a car. The driver must have put him in his car to take him to a hospital, but then changed his mind and brought him somewhere he wouldn't be recognized by anyone, which is the city we now live in. I thought my dad had left us, but he'd been living here all this time. Thanks to Brett, we moved my dad into an assisted living facility. I go to visit him every day. I tell him about everything that has happened over the years. I don't know how much of it he understands, but I still really enjoy spending time with my dad. I also play the ukulele for him. He sings along saying, kitty guitar, kitty guitar.